Welcome to the One Speed MMA Podcast with yours truly, Flying Smitty.
It's Carson Wood.
What up, Cars?
Hey, buddy. Hey,
we're actually on time this week, and we have a podcast.
Usually it's Sunday.
Nah, it's not going to be Sunday anymore, I don't think. It'll probably mostly be Monday night.
Either or. I mean, if it wasn't Mother's Day, I would have probably given you a call yesterday.
That's true.
We textured ceilings. It was pleasant.
You textured ceilings?
We did, yes.
You didn't go see your mom?
Bev, I did not see Bev, no. Yeah. She is, she's a hard one to get a hold of. I didn't even get to talk to her, but I called her.
What? Her
yeah, how's Bridget?
She's good. We went and made them dinner, my sweet wife. She decided to take care of dinner because my sister-in-law and sister usually take care of it. Mm-hmm. And so they had their own Mother's Days. And so my wife and I went, mostly my wife, went and cooked. I took care of the dogs. My brother's got a little Malamute.
Woo!
It's basically a black German Shepherd. Real cute. They got in a fight because Abbott kept taking the stuff from the puppy.
Second week in a row he's gotten in a fight when I've come over here.
This one was a little bit different. This one is because the puppy was trying to defend itself. And not defend itself. Was trying to keep its own property to itself.
Wasn't that what happened with the other one?
No, the other one was like the pit bull just attacked him.
Well, I thought he was in his stuff.
No, he started sniffing around in their stuff, but it wasn't like he was like this. Abbott straight up took a piece of watermelon from this other dog, snapped it right out of his snapped like he set it down because he didn't know what he thought about it, and Abbott just snagged it.
That's amazing. Did you get to watch the whole card?
I did. So I did, and I didn't. So I watched all of the beginning fights up to Alvarez, and then I had to travel. So I didn't see all of Joko Branch. I did see all of Edgar Rodriguez. I saw most of Maya Masvidal, and then I saw most of the two title fights. Actually, I didn't. The Miocic Dos Santos, I turned it on and saw just the replay of Miocic finishing the fight.
So you didn't see the Alvarez-Poirier fight?
I did see that fight.
Oh, you didn't.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, that was really confusing because I like was.
That's right where I started because of work. That's where I jumped in. But
do you think it should have been a no contest or a DQ?
DQ.
The reason it's a no contest, and apparently Herb Dean was on MMA Hour today, and he was like, you know what? It was unintentional. He couldn't really see where his hand was. He was just throwing the knee. You know, if it was intentional, then it would have been a DQ. But because it was unintentional, it's a no contest. Then apparently Silva or one of the Fertitta brothers texted Dana White and said, "Hey, you guys, we really need instant replay."
Mm-hmm. It was Lorenzo.
Lorenzo, that's what it was. So, what do you think? Do they need instant replay after the Weidman fight and after this?
If they're gonna give him 5 minutes anyways, who cares? Like soccer, it's like one thing because like. They don't want to interrupt. Yeah, and it's already a slow game. They don't want to interrupt the flow of it. I get that, fine, whatever. But there's literally no reason in sports that already have natural stoppages in them to not do instant replay. There's no reason for baseball to not have it, which they do now, obviously. There's no reason for basketball. There's no reason for the NFL. And there's no reason for MMA.
The only reason I don't understand it is... So you change it from a no contest to a DQ. Like, other than that, the fight's still over. It's not like it matters a whole ton.
Poirier getting paid
out. Oh, yeah, I forgot. And that's the only reason.
That's why he's fighting it. He just came out today. Oh, I assume. He never said that.
No, he actually said that. He said, I know. I don't care about the win or loss. I just want my win money.
And, I mean, that's essentially doubling up your purse. So, and Alvarez doesn't lose anything for it because he's not getting paid anymore. But that was a good fight, man.
It was a good fight. Do you think Alvarez, when he had him against the cage, could have come back? Because I mean, he was more or less rocked, and then they threw themselves out, and they were pretty gassed.
Do I think that they could have finished the? I don't think they were that gassed.
No, do you think Alvarez could have come back and won it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Apparently, he controlled 57 minutes and 18 seconds of the fight.
That's very good.
Yeah, I mean, they fought for an hour. I never thought it was that.
Dude, that's impressive on his part. Yeah, I think the fight was
neither,
up.
Neither of them had knockdowns either.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That is, I think either of them could have still won the fight at that point.
Mm.
I think Poirier was on track to win it, but I think it could have been either or.
I was hoping it was a 5-round fight. I mean, that's one of the comments I made going out of the first round is it should have been 5 rounds.
You know, I don't like 5-round fights. I'm totally fine with it being a 3-round fight.
I didn't think it was going to finish in three. That's why I thought both of those dudes were just going to stand and do exactly what they were doing for three, and then it was going to go to decision. So I was hoping five would have got some kind of finish.
No. They just get more tired. I doubt that they would have finished it in that amount of time. But, I mean, it was an amazing fight.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. I have to eat crow on the Vic fight. I've been telling people over and over and over again I'm not that impressed by him, and he's done nothing but do impressive things other than lose one fight two fights ago.
Don't you have to eat crow on the Poirier, too, because you said he couldn't stand with Alvarez?
Yeah. I mean, that fight wasn't over, though, so who knows how it would have ended.
He had him on.
On Queer Street, as Joe Rogan says.
He did say that.
Yes, he's on Queer Street. Speaking of Joe Rogan, I watched a fight the episode with Eddie Bravo and freaking Brendan Schaub. Or I didn't watch. I listened to it where they kept saying Indian instead of Native American, and Joe tried to freaking correct them, and he's like, "I think that they go by Native American now. I don't think we're supposed to call them Indians."
Russell Means said before he died that we're all Native Americans on this Western Hemisphere.
But he did say Native American.
What's that?
But he did say we're all Native Americans.
We are all Native Americans, so it's stupid to say Native American because everybody that's been born in the Western Hemisphere is Native American.
So we should call them Indians?
We should call them American Indians or Indians is what Russell Means said.
Interesting.
But
was Russell Means Indian?
Well, yeah, 100%. He's a very, very, very smart guy.
I understand. I don't understand because they were called Indians because they thought they made it to India, not because they were Indians.
It was an honest mistake, but I mean, like, it's...
Before they genocide millions of people. It was an honest mistake before they killed all of them.
Well, that's irrelevant, being called Indians and genocide. I mean, that came much later, but I mean, like... No. I mean, it depends. At this point, it's almost like the gender talk. You just have to ask people what they want to be called. I mean, obviously, redskin, no. Obviously not.
What makes a red man red, though?
But, I mean...
Redskin...
pretty much any Native American that I've talked to couldn't care less if it's Native American or Indian or Indian American.
Well, I mean, it's like one of those things where they probably prefer to be called by their tribe, but the chances of guessing their tribe the first, you know, like, oh, no, I'm actually Navajo. It's like, oh, sorry, man. But other than being from Northern Arizona, there's no way I could have ever known that you were Navajo. Anyway, moving back.
Be best friends with them. You'll know. They'll tell you.
I lived with a Navajo.
I did. Oh, well, I didn't
live with him. I asked him if he was a hunter-gatherer type.
You are a hunter-gatherer, correct? Actually, Jared Totticini's Navajo.
No, I'm an alcoholic.
From the reservation.
the res.
But, no, yeah. I had not watched that podcast, but, yeah. It'd be interesting another cast. We probably spent a lot too much time on this. Because there's not even Native Americans in the UFC. They're not even well-represented. We got to get them in there.
Yeah, we do.
Got to get that fighting spirit. We got to get Jared in there.
Yeah, give him a tomahawk. Is that politically correct? is that politically correct? Anyway, moving on. Speaking of our descendants, we got Skelly versus Knight for the white trash king, and Knight ended up winning, and that was actually a really exciting fight too. I enjoyed that fight with Jason Knight winning by KO in the third, and. Once again, people sticking their nose where it doesn't belong. So Jason Knight is from Mississippi. Mississippi flag freaking looks very close to the Confederate flag, but it's not. It's a state flag. And apparently people were talking trash on him and his family, especially his family and friends, for wearing Confederate flags. So he had to come out on Twitter and be like, listen, dumbasses, it's the Mississippi flag. Like, it has nothing to do with the Confederacy, nor would it matter if it did. However... it's a Mississippi flag, and they were there to support me, and we're from Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, come on, guys.
You just got it. You gotta be outraged culture. You gotta be upset about something.
If you're gonna be outraged, do a little bit of research and be like, is that a Confederate
flag?
That's not part of it.
No, that's not the research part. Is not like. You just go in and you call Ben Shapiro racist or what have you, even though his wife's from Morocco and he's Jewish. You call him a white, like, anti-Semite, or white supremacist. Like, that doesn't factor in at all.
It's very interesting. Outside of that, I did bet on Barzola, And he won.
You won lots of monies.
I won $87 all day, though, on the fights. So.
Oh, that little amendment didn't happen before.
No, and here's why I didn't. If it wouldn't have been a no contest, I would have, and Cejudo wouldn't have pulled out, I would have won $100 on $5 because I guessed four fights correctly in a row in a parlay, and it would have been five. And then because I thought it might be a DQ, I bet again a parlay, Edgar, Joanna, and Miocic, and I won $15. And then I bet that the Sherman-Couldor fight was going to end in the second, and I won $20 on $5. And then I bet on Barzola, and I won. But then I lost on Vic, and I lost on Aguilar. I bet those two. And then I bet $10 on Maya when he was still the underdog, and I won $10 on that. So most of them were on that, and then I'd parlayed three soccer games as well and won $15.
I guess we're going to be jumping all over the place because, I mean, we don't have to, I guess. But I was wondering, do you agree with Nick Diaz with his assessment of the whole Maya fight where he was upset that you just squeeze a guy for 15 minutes and then the other guy punches you in the head and you end up losing the fight? Very Chael Sonnen-esque, Nick.
I bet on Maya, so I'm real happy that he won.
But did you think that he won?
I think it's control, right? If he's on your back and you have to fight from getting choked out the entire fight, that guy definitely showed dominance in that fight. Mm. Though you landed one or two. Now, a wrestler being on top, I think is a little bit different. If they just lay on you and you can't get up, like, yeah, you need to fix your ground defense. But it's a little bit different than if someone is fighting for a choke or someone's fighting for a submission the entire time.
I agree. I think Maya won, but I was kind of – You just can't please the Diaz brothers. Like,
no.
They just have a problem with authority and rules, I feel like, which is fine. Like, I love listening to them always, except for right after fights.
One, it goes back to him losing to Condit, where he was moving forward the whole time and Condit was moving backwards. And with the new unified rules, which have technically caused more issues than fixes, he would have won that fight. And so they complain about everything. You're right.
And then on the Maya fight, I was really, really surprised when he said that Masvidal is the best Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioner that he's faced in the UFC.
See, I saw that he said it was his hardest fight, and that with everyone else he was able to control and manipulate and tap, but Masvidal he was unable to tap. And I saw him give him a lot of props after in the post-fight press conference, and then they took pictures together and everything else. Because Masvidal talks big, man, but he seems like he's a super nice dude. And so I did see Maya say he was his hardest fight to date based on what it was. But I didn't see that he said he was the best BJJ practitioner that he'd fought in the UFC.
He said I thought it was something in his post-fight. He said he's the best user of jiu-jitsu. And maybe it's just defending it. Maybe it's just defending it is what he was saying, but I'm pretty sure that is legitimately what he said. And that he's just a nice guy. That might just be him being nice because, I don't know, have we seen Masvidal get very many submissions? I mean, we've even had Cerrone get more submissions than him. They just fought.
Well, he's a boxer, so yeah, he's going to keep
it. Well, that's what surprises me. That's why I was wondering.
It's like the Chuck Liddell, right? You learn enough takedown defense or wrestling to get up rather than to actually do any type of wrestling. Or like Nate Quarry, that was like, as soon as I stopped doing anti-wrestling moves and just tried to get up instead of defending wrestlers, it changed everything. He's never won by decision or by submission. Round two submission right there. Michael Chiesa beat Michael Chiesa round two.
Ooh, we're going to get into that too. I forgot that we haven't talked about that yet.
Yeah, the free kick.
Oh my gosh. Did you watch the whole thing?
He beat Chiesa by the submission, which is nutty to me.
Did you watch that whole thing?
No, I didn't. I watched some of what John Jones said, but other than that, I didn't want to deal with it.
You're
going to have to break it down to me.
What else surprised you in this card? We're kind of all over the place. We probably should just get kind of organized. Starting with the Joko fight, is that pretty much how you saw it going, or what were you?
Yeah, I almost actually bet against Joko based on Branch's wrestling, and then I didn't, and I wish I would have because I figured Branch was going to be able to control him on the ground. My biggest surprise was actually how quickly Miocic finished Dos Santos.
Mm-hmm.
That was most likely the biggest surprise of the entire night.
Danny was pissed.
That they stopped it?
No, he was pissed. Dos Santos.
Did he put his back against the fence and just let himself get
punched? No, that he didn't even throw a punch. He was like, he threw maybe one punch and he threw three kicks. And my concern is what you just said, is that he was more up against the fence than anything because he didn't have anywhere to escape to.
No.
And that's where, like, it's fine if you use the cage and then you kind of angle out. But, like, I was like, he almost just stayed there. He almost did the Anderson Silva, but without the agility.
Without the actually defending and moving his head.
Yeah. Like, I was blown away that he just sat there. And I mean, the kicks were amazing, though. Those kicks, like if they would have went to the second.
I didn't see any of the kicks.
You didn't see any of them?
Uh-uh.
Oh, my gosh. The first one that landed, man, oh, you could hear it. It wasn't like the slap. It was thud. And I was just like, oh, that. And I'm sure if it would have went even just into the next round, once he sat down and it started swelling, he probably would have been limited.
Because they were trying to take his right leg away from him?
Yeah. He had three hard ones. The first one, I think, was the hardest, but...
Which is interesting, because Dos Santos, I think, is one of the better strikers in the heavyweight division, mm-hmm. and it shows you that they were not scared, but they were prepared for how hard Miocic fought. Which is interesting as well, because the first time they fought, JDS just took him down, and he out-wrestled him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird that he even threw three kicks instead of pacing it and then trying to take him down.
Yeah, it was weird. It was a weird game plan from Dos Santos. Danny, like, legitimately was like, was like, you're a disgrace, never go back to Brazil.
What? The JDS is, like, the nicest dude.
That's what
ever.
I said. I said, don't you say that about Cigano. Yeah. He's still, my favorite Brazilian. He is a sweetheart. And he's just very hot-headed about the whole thing, which is funny because he just got his green card, not going back to Brazil.
Does he sound, I mean.
Or the citizenship, not green card.
Did the JDS kind of seem like he might retire? Like, he was like, I don't really know what to do
no.
after this.
No, he said in his post-fight he'll be back as soon as possible. Yeah. They asked him, he actually started crying because they asked him about his new son.
That's what it was. He just had a kid.
Yeah, and so he, actually, Spanish also with him, not terrible. Mm-hmm. He didn't stumble over any words other than really patada. But, he was, they asked him about his son, and then a Spanish, pressman got on and he was like, are you looking to spend some time with the family, with your new son, or do you want to get back out there as soon as possible? And he said he wants to get back out there as soon as possible. So I don't think it's a retirement at all.
I mean, he beat everyone else. He looks good.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
He's 33.
He's still a young dude for that division.
He can get another run. That's not like a problem. Like he could definitely hold that belt again.
This card was interesting, man. It was super, super interesting. And I think it was the most interesting because now that I actually bet on fights, these were some of the thinnest lines between favorite and underdog that I've seen since getting into any of this.
Most of the favorites won too, right?
Almost all of the favorites won.
Pretty much. I mean, in the main card.
Yep. So,
except for
other
Branch.
Than no,
Branch was Joko.
So Branch won. Joko is the favorite.
Not by
much, though. It was like a plus 123, plus 110,
so
or minus 110.
That one, Frankie was obviously the...
Frankie was the favorite.
And then...
And that one got even closer towards fight time.
And then Maya was the favorite. Joanna was...
Maya wasn't, though, for a while. That's why I bet so much.
How'd the line start out?
They started out... they started out where all of them were pretty even. There were most of them were minus 110. So Eddie Alvarez, Dustin Poirier ended up both like minus 120, minus 110, which is crazy to me. I've never seen that line before, meaning that neither of them is technically an underdog because you have to bet 110 to win 100 or one bet 120. So I'd never seen that before. Whereas Maya and
that's essentially is meaning that it's even, but the house has to get their money.
Yep. Maya and Masvidal was basically the same, and then it shifted where Masvidal was a favorite, and at about plus 108, Maya was the underdog at a plus 108, so I put $10 on him immediately, and I should have bet a lot more, and even though it was still a sketchy fight. And then they came back, and Maya ended up being the favorite in the long run.
Ooh, I forgot I won something on a bet as well.
Oh, yeah?
I forgot about that.
But Aguilar, Casey, basically all of them were... There was... The biggest one was Cejudo versus Sergio Pettis, and it was like a plus 300 or plus 300 minus 240 or something like that.
I wouldn't have parlayed
that
big
one. I did, and then because Cejudo got injured, they just canceled it, and it didn't matter.
That wouldn't make me too nervous.
But Joanna Miocic and Edgar were really easy to parlay.
I won Alien Covenant tickets from Paul for the Joanna fight. One thing I found out, Andrade was going to win. Well, so I was going to say the one thing we could probably start hustling people is getting Danny in there when he thinks Brazilians are going to win and start hyping everybody up for the Brazilian. Because he was in there and I was like, oh, dude, this is going to be bad. And he's like, oh, I got a feeling about Jessica. And I was like, she's not going to win. And Paul was looking at her. It was pretty funny though, because he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna take the Brazilian. You want to bet on it? We'll do Alien Covenant tickets." And I was like, "All right." And then after the first round, they're like, "Oh, she's got her." And I'm like, "Do I look nervous? No. Like she's fine."
I missed the first round. I saw 3, 4, 5 where she was dominant.
I don't think Joanna won. That was kind of what surprised me. I did think that the third, if I remember right, was an 8-10. So it was inconsequential, even if she won around.
She outstruck her like 230 to 94.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was bad. But,
and 225 to 83, significant.
But when they got up standing next to each other, Paul played this false advertisement because when he saw the tell of the tape, they looked the exact same size.
Jessica Andrade is like 5'3". She's pretty short.
I think she's 5'1".
Yeah.
And then Joanna's like 5'7". And I'm like... Because she was just Vanderlater like the whole time. And I'm like, she's going to start coming down the pipe and Joanna's just going to keep hitting her and backing up.
Yep.
It's exactly what happened. And
which is exactly what we called here on the podcast.
Yeah. Like that's.
He should have listened to the podcast. So should have Danilo.
But yeah, they just top to bottom, like I just way impressed with Joanna at this point. Like I think she almost has to go to 125.
She wants to defend both of them. She wants to win 125, and she wants to stay active enough to defend both belts.
She doesn't really take damage. I think she could.
No, she was pretty swollen up after this fight.
No, but it's not really damage. Swelling goes down.
Yeah, I guess.
Apart from her
hemorrhage on her forehead.
That was the only one though. Like that's the only thing, and that's when everybody was like, "Look at her forehead." That's when everybody was freaking out in the first, because that happened probably less than 2 minutes into the fight.
Really? See, yeah, I missed that.
Happened super early. She kind of rushed her, and Danny actually called this rushed her Vanderlei style.
Yeah.
This is what you said, too, where she would just be coming, like, swinging wide, and it looked Vanderlei-esque.
Yeah.
And she clipped her. She did. But then Joanna was just recalibrated and just backed up, tag.
That's all she had. She had to finish in the first, or it wasn't going to happen.
And then the head kicks were ridiculous, too. I mean, Andrade does have... Danny was making fun of her because he was like... because she was saying that her biggest attribute or her biggest strength is her chin, which is true. Like, that's the dumbest thing to have as an attribute in the world, because it's like that you can't win a fight from that.
Like Roy Nelson, where he got beat up, but he wouldn't get knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was just surgical. I think she's a champion for a long time, man.
Let's talk about our boy Yair Rodriguez.
Made me real sad.
Our Mexicano.
I took out my my Salt Lake shirt for the fight.
And I figured it was going to end like that. I didn't think it was going to be that brutal. I didn't think he was just going to rain freaking elbows onto his face and open him up and finish by doctor stoppage.
I mean, we didn't get to see anything from Yair.
No.
Did he land a significant strike?
I don't think so. I don't know. If I remember correctly, anytime he was standing up, he'd land a kick or he'd throw a punch or whatever, and then he would be taken down. I mean, Edgar's quick. I mean, if it wasn't for Jose Aldo fighting backwards, I think Frankie Edgar would be a champion.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how you have to fight Frankie Edgar. You have to stay out of his range. You have to keep moving backwards, and you just have to strike and move.
I know he doesn't really have like a belt, and he didn't defend for super long of the lightweight, but I feel like he's got to be, I don't know, man, the things that he does, it's heart smarts and just like grit.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's the perfect fighter to get behind, and he doesn't complain really. Like he has occasionally, but yeah. I mean, he doesn't really make like a big deal.
Well,
that was
only when the UFC threw him under the bus for not fighting Jose on like, what was it? Like 2 weeks notice when he had a torn groin or whatever it was.
But, I mean, and other than that, he goes out there and he fights, and he puts it all out there every fight. He's been knocked out in a number of fights. He knocks people out occasionally. Usually goes to decision, but the fights are never boring.
Can we talk about poor OKC? I just saw this. I was looking at the upcoming fights. Poor freaking OKC. Their headliner is Michael Chiesa versus freaking Kevin Lee. And Kevin Lee is coming off a loss. You shouldn't put someone on a main card at the top. I mean, I guess he's 50. No, he's coming off a win. But he lost right before that. And he's 15-2. But, like,
I hope they both lose. I hope the Poirier.
I like Michael Chiesa.
I hope the Poirier. The whole thing was so stupid.
Don't talk about my mom. Well, I think his dad's dead. Either that or his mom's dead. I think his
mom's not, because she bought tickets. That's what he was saying. But
Michael Chiesa is that. I like Michael Chiesa a lot.
He didn't even say anything about his mom, though. Like, he mentioned that she got tickets, and he's just like, I'm gonna be careful with him because I heard his mom bought tickets. Don't say anything about my mom.
No.
Yes.
Maybe he did. Maybe he just said, your mom bought tickets. He said something dumb like that.
No, he's like, no, because they were going back and forth, and he was saying, no, man, like, I like the guy, but he was essentially saying, like, I heard his, I'm gonna be careful with him because I know that his mom got tickets, and I don't want, and he was getting ready to say, destroy him in front of his mom, something to that effect. Don't you ever talk about my mom.
Yeah, and, but then he straight up punched him.
What's that?
You never punch somebody. Yeah, ever.
I'm not defending Kevin Lee.
I hate Kevin Lee more than anything.
Well, my thing too is when he's talking about how Conor McGregor stole his style because it comes from the hood, and he was like,
"What?"
He's like, "Don't compare me to that guy. He thinks he hangs out with a couple of rappers, and he's from the hood." And one thing he did say that I respect is that he was like, "I'm from the hood. I've been doing this my whole life, but." That's a place that I'm never going back to. I'm from there and I'm never going back. And it's like, that's respectable. Like, you're not glorifying that lifestyle. But then he dressed like it after he said that Conor was an idiot for dressing like it, and he was never going back.
Didn't you see the who are better, Michael Westbrook or Kevin Lee? And he basically ripped off Michael Westbrook to a T.
Who?
Not Michael Westbrook, sorry.
Oh, Russell.
Russell Westbrook. They have one Russell Westbrook showing up to a game dressed exactly like that. And then they also joked about, who was it? I think it was like Bruce Lee or someone way back in the day that was dressed like that, and they made fun of him.
Conor dressed like El Chapo too.
Yeah, but that was 100% intentional.
Yeah, I assume Kevin Lee's was to a certain extent. If it's
dress like Russell Westbrook,
if he's going to OKC,
oh, I guess that makes sense. Maybe he's smarter than I think he is.
He's a smart guy, 100%. He's just, they're both stupid. Like, why?
I can't stand him. That whole thing, though, was a joke. I didn't watch it because everyone... I watched it on Twitter. I was watching my Twitter feed blow up about it. And I was like, I'm not tuning into this.
It was so, like...
What was the most cringeworthy or cringy, as the kids say?
It's...
Or cringe.
It's the... Anything John Jones said is probably third on the list. Amanda Nunes, Valentina Shevchenko is number two.
How dare Amanda Nunes freaking put her hands on Valentina, man? That pisses me off. She put her freaking... fist against her face and then pushed. Like,
and then she starts, it was her, she did it. But
I really don't like Amanda Nunes anymore.
No, the whole thing made me like almost everybody there less, except for Weidman and freaking...
Weidman tried before, though, and then he probably learned his lesson.
Yeah, well, and DC was fine, too, except for I wish he would have just said something to the effect of, John, life beat you. Because him saying that DC isn't the champion because he never beat him, and it's like, you could kill somebody and get put in jail for life, and then you could just sit there saying that DC's not champion because he never beat you. Yes, he is. He's the best light heavyweight that is eligible for the title. It's the stupidest argument in the world. Could you beat him? Yeah, you probably will. But at the end of the day, like, you're stupid. So mine goes pretty much third, anything John Jones said, to Valentina and Nunes. Amanda, because like,
did Valentina actually try anything or say anything, or is it just all Nunes?
Well, they kept going back and forth. They afforded them like 4 minutes of literally just going, you watch, I'll beat you. Why? I beat you already. Why? No, we'll see. We'll see. Why? I'm like, why? Just pull the mic. Somebody cut it. What the hell are they talking about? what are we doing? And then the Michael Chiesa, Kevin Lee thing, the Justin, I can't pronounce his last name. Gahee and
Michael Johnson.
Yeah,
I saw part of that and was like, ugh.
When did Michael Johnson start talking?
I'm going to kill you.
Like,
Nick Diaz, when he fought Nick Diaz, and then Nick Diaz freaking triangle choked him.
Well, and I hope Justin wins, man, because, like, he had a retort for him, and he eventually just got to the point where he was just like, you're right, man, you're better than me. And he's like, don't try that bullshit reverse psychology on me, man. I'm from the streets, or whatever the hell he said. Like, what are we doing, man? This is a guy that just came into the UFC.
Yeah. Like, no one has any idea who he is.
Oh, my gosh. And yeah. I know it's to hype it, and they probably tell him something backstage, and they probably started it last year, but I'm done watching those.
Oh, yeah. I mean, last year's was pretty good because Connor was there, and then after that it was done.
Connor would be good if he let other people set him up, but he kind of did the whole Michael Johnson thing where he just jumped on him early and didn't let anybody say anything. You have to have, you have to let them talk themselves sound stupid,
yeah,
and then jump on him and make him look even stupider, in my opinion. But
I agree with that. The whole thing's just...
I'm done watching them.
Yeah, it's getting pretty ridiculous. And maybe we do like people that don't speak English more so they can just not say anything.
No, I don't. That's why number two is Valentina and Amanda. That was the worst.
Oh, man. I mean, I do remember, too, the freaking... I do remember that Weidman, two cards ago or whatever it was, before he fought... It wasn't Yoel. It was before he fought... Who did he just get freaking DQ'd by?
Who?
Weidman. Where he put his feet down and he kneed him twice. I don't even remember who it was. And they called the fight.
Oh my gosh. That's going to drive me nuts.
I don't remember who it was. I remember being pissed because I put money on the fight and then they DQ'd
it. Oh, it was Musasi.
Oh, Musasi.
And he's pissed because he won't fight him again, yeah.
Yeah, I remember him throwing little shade at Musasi, but it's just a joke. How about freaking Holm versus Betch Kohea?
Yeah, that was next
what
on my
in
dog.
The hell?
I hate Betch. Do you know how bad Betch is? Not to keep invoking Danny, which everybody's getting introduced to him, I guess, because he'll be on the podcast next week.
Yeah.
But he's very nationalistic, as Brazilians do.
And he likes Betch?
No.
Oh, he hates
That's
her.
How bad it is.
Oh, man.
They don't even like her in Brazil, man. Like, she was saying that Holly isn't as good as everybody makes her out to be, that she's good at boxing. You're somebody that prides yourself in boxing, and you lost to Ronda Rousey standing up, and you didn't even land a punch.
And then you crapped your own pants. That's how I remember she pooped herself.
Yes. I'm done with those press conferences. Those, I can't do them.
Dude, I'm not impressed. There's a bunch of fights coming. There's a lot of fight cards coming up. And I'm not impressed with a lot of these fights. Other than the title fights, I mean, so Gustafsson Teixeira is in 2 weeks, and that's on the 28th. And, I mean, it's on a Sunday, and it's out in Europe.
That's a dope fight.
That one is. Odesma Serkinov, who really cares? Sobata Saunders, who cares? Razaka Al-Hassan Akhmedov. I like to see Akhmedov. Meek is out again. Versus Nordin Talib, which who I was very interested in. And then freaking Nicholson, but like, who cares? And even the freaking... There's a lot of cards I don't care about. But let's get into...
Teixeira versus Gustafsson. I want Gustafsson to win because I want DC to win. And then I want Gustafsson to beat him. I'm done with these two. Like, I want the division to get something
cleared
new.
Out.
Yeah.
Let's talk... What is his name? TJ. TJ was going to fight Cody Garbrandt. Cody Garbrandt gets injured. He's out. TJ freaking Dillashaw is like, cool. How about DJ defend his belt against me for his record-winning title fight? And DJ was like, no. I don't want to fight TJ.
I don't get that.
I don't get it at all. Like, what in the world?
I don't understand.
Like, if you're going to get the record, fight someone who can legitimately, like, contend for a belt. Like, no offense to Wilson Hayes or, like, the last nine people that DJ has fought. But I would be like, yeah, absolutely. Have him come down to my weight and let's fight and let me prove that I am the pound-for-pound best fighter at my own weight. But he just said no. Like, he's not interested in the fight.
I almost want to get on Twitch to see if he said anything about it and watch his past streams, because I don't get it.
It's extremely irritating. How can you call yourself the freaking GOAT, best of all time, if you freaking haven't fought everybody, especially a past title holder that's going to drop weight to get to you.
I mean, if maybe, I mean, I'm not saying that I necessarily buy into this, that this is his, but the only argument that I can really think of is that every division is becoming such a joke right now and being held up by so many things, and people aren't getting shots. Like, giving respect to the people that are actually putting in work and winning fights and staying in divisions, like your Damian Maia's, like your, you know, I guess if that's what you're, because look how many divisions we have held up of people moving around. We've got bit, like GSP holding up divisions.
But it's not being held up if he just goes down, fights him, and loses. And even
it's holding it up for the people that have earned the shot at that weight class.
All right. So let's, I mean, he's number one pound for pound, DJ is, which is crazy to me. I mean, he, I don't, it's not crazy. I think right now he deserves it. Maybe Connor a little bit more just because he actually has won belts at two. I mean, he hasn't defended any, whatever, whatever, but he's at least won two. But let's look at this. DJ, Joseph Benavidez, he beat. Henry Cejudo just pulled out of a fight because he couldn't make weight, but he beat. Ray Borg, TJ's got a better shot at beating DJ than Ray Borg. Wilson Hayes just got crushed. Formiga's already been beat. Sergio Pettis doesn't deserve a fight against freaking Demetrius Johnson. Brandon Moreno, he's done well. He just beat Dustin Ortiz, and he was supposed to lose that fight, and every time he's been an underdog, he's won. He beat freaking Luis Smolka. But the fact is this, man. You put him against Tim Elliott, I think he loses. And so nobody in that division right now, Tim Elliott, Ian McCall, Dustin Ortiz, Smolka, Ray Borg, Wilson Hayes, Formiga, Pettis, Cejudo, Benavidez, all of them lose to DJ. Mm-hmm. All of them.
Mm-hmm. I think Dillashaw loses to TJ too, to be clear. That's why.
And this, that's fine.
I'm not saying I buy into that. That's the only thing that I can, that's the only defensible position, in my opinion, is that he says, if he's saying that he just, if we don't want another division held up by these super fights, fine. But at the end of the day, like you said, it's pretty much a cleared out division, and I still think he beats TJ.
Yeah.
And
TJ. DJ beats
TJ. Yes. we'll say DJ beats
Killashaw.
Killashaw. But I still want to see the Garbrandt fight, so I'm hoping it doesn't happen there. And he's being treated by some type of surgeon in Germany, from what I heard. So that's still possibly on. They said up to 20 hours ago that the fight's still on. So we'll see. But but other than that, like, I just don't see why would DJ not take that fight. It's more money for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's get you onto an actual pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's not like these Fox cards
or
and things
FS1
anymore.
Or
yeah,
whatever else.
I
yep.
just I don't get it.
And someone's dropping weight. I mean, it's much hard. I mean, if you fight at your natural weight, you're doing great. If you drop weight or you go up in weight, you're gonna have a hard time no matter what, because those weight cuts are horrendous. And TJ is not a small bantamweight. So for him to drop another 10 pounds and go to flyweight, that's a lot of weight when you don't have a ton of weight on you.
He's not small, but he's pretty average.
I mean, he's fought Dotson. He lost to Dotson, and then Dotson went back down to 125. But Dotson looked really small against him. He was just faster when they fought on The Ultimate Fighter. I don't know. It annoys me. And it really, really annoys me because he talks about how great he is. And then TJ's like, cool, like, Cody's out. How about I drop weight and come fight you? And he's like, no, I don't want that.
And that's the thing is, I don't think he's scared. I don't know what his reasoning is.
I would like to, like you said, to go actually hear what he says and his reasoning is, because it's kind of an annoyance. So let's talk about this, man. What's next for Joanna? 125? Who does she fight for the 125 belt, do you think?
I don't know. Did you hear Joanna when she was talking at the press conference? I did feel bad for, or not Joanna.
She started crying.
Joanna, yeah, Calderwood. Joanna Calderwood.
No. Yeah.
She was saying
Joanna.
She didn't start crying, but
Joanna.
Joanna. Yeah, I was saying Joanna. Joanna.
Calderwood.
She was
the Irish chick.
Yeah, or she's Scottish, right?
Yeah, something like that. She's from over there.
She was really pissed because she signed the fight. And then they made the 125 divisions. She saw on Twitter the next day.
So she's got to drop to 115.
Yeah.
Who is she fighting?
I
didn't see it. Carlos Esparza?
Isn't she fighting Karolina? No, hold on. I'll have to look that up.
Karolina is on Kowalski's...
it's Claudia. She was the only one.
Yeah, Claudia. Claudia's fighting Karolina.
I'll look it up really quick while we're talking. But
yeah, I didn't. So she's super sick. Well, I mean, she's already fought at a catch weight, and she said that she'd much rather fight at 125.
Yeah, that's her natural weight. I think I really like her, man. She seems like a sweetheart.
Oh, yeah. No, she seems super nice. And she was also the one that said that she wouldn't be able to fight. Like, she went to TriStar. She won her fight and was like, I'm not going to be able to go back because I don't have enough money to train at TriStar. I'm not getting paid enough in order to train at that gym. And then I think something else happened where someone covered her costs or something like that. And that's one of the reasons I like Tito Ortiz. I think Ronda Marcos as well said that she was going to have to sell her tough, you know, when she won the tough finale or whatever, She said she was going to have to sell her Harley Davidson motorcycle. And Tito Ortiz was like, I'll lend you money. Just pay me back when you win.
Forgive my ignorance. It is JoJo Calderwood, not Joanna. That's my mistake. Why the hell won't anybody?
It doesn't have it.
No, I'll find it though. But, yeah, she just was like, kind of, it seemed like really UFC, like everybody, like that's, the one thing everybody knows about me is I fight 125.
Can we talk about one really, really important thing?
Yeah.
The UFC.com has women's strawweight, women's bantamweight, women's featherweight, but they don't have the 145 division.
Yeah. We talked about that last week. I was looking at it and laughing.
I remember you laughed, but I didn't realize that's what you were laughing at.
Yeah.
The featherweight division's not there, but there's no...
Yeah.
What would that even be? Women's...
It's featherweight.
Women's featherweight.
But they have a fight there.
No, not featherweight because that's 125, right?
No, featherweight's Jose Aldo's weight class. Featherweight's 145. Bantamweight is 135. Flyweight is 125.
I thought it was their 125, their flyweight division.
Flyweight is
125.
Yeah. But they have a fight there though. All right.
With Betch and Holly Holm?
No, with
Katzingano and
Cyborg.
Fight, I don't know if that's going to happen. And they're saying GDR is coming back.
Why is that not happening now?
Can we? Because it's not signed. It's close to signature. Did you see Dana White's scrum or whatever?
Yes. Wait.
Where he's bald one? with his like stubble, and his weird red tan line on his chest.
I don't think I saw that one. What did he say?
Basically, the GDR is going to come back and fight the Katzingano versus Cyborg. They're trying to set up, but it's not quite done yet. And then he got really mad at them, saying that ESPN had already reported that the fight was more or less done between Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. And then the next day, he came back and was like, "Oh yeah, we've got our side worked out."
Well, he's got the Conor side, and he's saying, how long do you think it's going to take? I did see, actually, the post-fight where he said that. He's like, how long do you think it's going to take to do the Floyd side? And by the way, it's Calvillo is who JoJo's fighting.
The one that just lost.
Won.
The one that just won by armbar, right, or whatever she won by?
Yeah.
The two Hispanic chicks that fought.
Yeah, I actually like that fight a lot. She's shooting up. Like, she's one of those... Cynthia Calvillo. She's one of the rising stars for sure.
Oh, yeah, she's awesome. And she's a foul mouth, so it's funny every time they interview her.
And
she's an alpha male, though, so that's too bad.
I liked her and JoJo, what they had to say. That was another bright spot, the Weidman interview and then the JoJo and Cynthia Calvillo.
And they were at the scrum, too?
Uh-huh.
So they flew her in, huh? Yeah. That's interesting.
I think they might be fighting in Scotland. I think that's why they're probably really there. Cool. I'll have to double check on that. But anyways, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut us off. What were we talking about?
Dana White talking. Yeah, no, man, he looked really bad. Dana White looked she's from Glasgow. She's from Scotland. Mm-hmm. He looked heavier than usual. Like, his face was unshaven, even though it was kind of intentional. Like, he seemed unhealthy, man, for the first time, which is weird. And then they mentioned that he's going to be doing a show. Do you know anything about that?
I don't. I know they announced it, but I didn't.
I didn't quite understand what it was, and I didn't look it up.
No.
I was hoping that you maybe knew.
It's on YouTube, right? Yeah, it is for Glasgow, by the way. It actually is going to be in Glasgow, so that's why she's probably going to headline it. So they're trying to hype that up.
That's awesome. She's really a likable person.
Yeah, and so is Cynthia.
I think, yeah.
But, no, I didn't really notice anything out of the ordinary for him, and I don't really care about the shows that he does, really, ever since they lost the tooth. I'm just kidding. I couldn't care less about him.
I mean, he's a BJJ world champion.
Mm-hmm. There's no asterisk there.
With his blue belt.
But yeah, I don't know anything about that or like really what he was saying, but
I saw that. And I also watched John Jones media scrum where he was like, dude, I don't know. It's so funny when you talk to John Jones alone, he seems like a likable character. And then you realize how bad of a person he is. And you're like, no, don't try and convince me that you're funny or likable. Cause you're a pretty big asshole.
No, I believe that he is likable. Like one, yeah. Like there's certain people that, I'll be like people like, how do you hang out with them? Or how do you like, people say that to me on people I hang out with all the time. And I'm like, it's much different. It's usually me and them alone. They're a much different person. Yeah. There was this one guy in particular, at my old job, and we used to carpool together. It was 30 minutes both ways. And like, how do you spend that long in the car with him? I'm like, he's not like he is at work at all.
Mm-hmm.
When we carpool together all the way to Layton, he's a completely different person. And I assume John Jones, it's similar. I assume like he's obviously doing stuff with people all the time, and he was before. We're sure.
Well,
so
he said he was the life of the party, where he was the one buying everyone drinks, and he was like, he was a super nice dude that took care of everybody and whatever else.
You've heard the story of Chael Sonnen and his mom, and like where he bared like he was showing like his bare ass to Chael's mom and stuff, and Chael's like, no, he's a funny guy, man. Like he's a hilarious guy. He's a good time. He just does stupid stuff.
Yeah.
The problem with me is just like he tries to show that he's repentant, and he is so far from it. Because then he says, did you see when – did they do the soundbite that you watched when he was talking about how he just did a bender the week before with Daniel?
Uh-uh.
And then he beat Daniel the week after. He said it was the same weekend. And then he was like, that's weird, John. I thought you said the cocaine was a one-off scenario. I thought you said you did that one time. Yeah. So you did it with me too, you drug addict? And he's like, it was the week before, and then I beat your ass. And he's like, that's weird, John, because I thought you only did it once.
Yeah, he's – well, and the thing about this – the thing that really irritated me is they're like, so are you still sober? And he's like, it doesn't matter if I'm still sober or not. It only matters if I'm fighting, and as long as whatever I'm doing doesn't affect other people. And it's like, when you drink, it affects other people. You get in vehicles and you crash. It's happened more than once.
That's how I balance it out with the cocaine. If everybody would stop limiting me from doing cocaine, we'd be fine.
Uppers and downers, you guys. So basically he openly admitted unintentionally that he was completely not sober anymore. Which is like, once again, what you do in your own time is your prerogative. But as soon as you take it out of your house and it affects someone else, that's not okay. And then when you say something like, I can do whatever I want as long as it doesn't affect someone else, when in two or three different occasions it has directly affected someone else and a pregnant woman nonetheless, you should probably stop drinking, period. And when someone says, hey, more or less, I mean, it's a little rude to be like, hey, man, are you still sober? But if you claim sobriety for about a year and then someone asks you if you're still sober.
It's not, though, in this scenario.
And I agree.
People are putting money down.
Yep.
Like, it's not. It's a legitimate thing that people that are buying tickets to go see him need to know. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's your personal life. But, I mean, it's important for that fan base to know, especially if he's asking wherever they're going to fight for.
Yep.
It's like, I'm taking this back. I'm in the Miami Herald. It's in Miami, whatever it is. And it's like my fan base needs to know if they can buy tickets to your stupid fight.
Yep.
So
it's like Jose Aldo's fan base.
Exactly.
They're going to come to the United States to watch, man. They need to know.
I mean, it would be, think about if Connor and Jose got set up again and somebody from Ireland came and asked Jose if he was going to, if he had ailing or if he had any ailments. That's a legitimate question. It sounds rude. It's like, hey man, I'm a fighter. I'm here to fight. And it's like, yeah, well, you pulled out of a couple of them. So we travel real well. We need to know.
Well, and they actually asked him specifically that, like, hey, can your fan base trust you're going to show up? And he's like, yeah, I've now got a prescription for Cialis, so I'm good with dick pills. So I know, he said, so I'm not going to be taking any sketchy dick pills anymore. And he was like, and then he turned back to the guy and goes, you didn't think I was going to say that, did you? Doing it as like a shock factor. And it's like, dude,
I hope he's
full of himself again.
I hope DC beats his ass. I hope he beats it so bad. And I actually might put money on it because I think DC is going to be the underdog.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think he should be the favorite.
Dude, I hope so bad that he beats him up.
Just because if John Jones can come off of this long of a time off and beat DC, especially if it's handedly, he immediately is in the talk of GOAT again. The
best of all time. Like,
but I just don't see him doing it. I don't see how he can. He looked not great against OSP. He still won. He did when he needed to. Mm-hmm. Nobody's arguing that. He didn't look like the old John Jones, though, and it's been how long since we've seen him again?
Yep.
I hope he loses. Well, and he admitted that
he's like, I did. You know, I beat OSP handedly. I didn't finish him, and you know, it's not always about exciting fights. It's about you know, coming out there and being dominant. He looked like he was old John Jones again. Like he was out there like saying things and
he looked like he turned heel. Like he's just kind of accepting it to a certain extent.
Not in what I saw, but I didn't watch the actual press conference.
It looked a little bit like it. Like he is just kind of letting his personality out there a little bit more. You know, there's a little bit of fakeness there still, but it seems like he's kind of done with it.
Yeah.
Because after the Ariel interview, where everybody thought he was repentant and on the right track, and he just completely did away with that again at 200.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I do, as long as it doesn't affect anyone else. It's like, okay, so you're not sober anymore. Mm-hmm. Which is a true sign of an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you say you're going to quit and then you go to AA and you get help and you do all those things and you go back, that shows a mental dependency to those things.
Mm-hmm. I hope he gets destroyed.
I'm kind of done with John Jones, too. I mean, the sad part is, he looks like he's getting older. Like watching those interviews and stuff, like, and obviously he is and everyone gets older, but like looking at him, it's like, oh man, like your youth is gone. You're in your 30s. Like, and he might not be 30 yet, because I'm 30 and I think he's a couple years younger than me. So he's like 27, 28.
I think we looked this up. I think he's my age, actually.
But it's, I mean, it's sad how much time has been wasted.
Yeah. Well, and he could have been, like, undisputed, if we do pound for pound, if we buy into that.
He's 29, 1987. Yeah,
we're the same age. He will turn 30, though, this year, right? If he would have held the title, if he would have beat DC again without, like, if he would have been fighting these last 2 years, I don't see anybody beating him. And so, how does he not get the greatest of all time at that point?
Yeah, and I agree with that. But do you think he would be? You think he'd be retired by now?
No.
If he stayed active and was that dominant and continued to make that money, do you think he'd be retired?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I think so. If he fought for four years,
you think everybody's retiring?
No. But no. Let me explain. So I was watching this the other day. He fought for 4 years straight, man. The girlfriend that they say he's with, it's his partner, man. I understand why he runs around in New Mexico, because she is not attractive. Anyway, that was actually kind of mean. But long story short, if he was an active fighter and not just an active screw up for that amount of time, and no one could beat him for like the 4 years that he hasn't fought, why not retire? I mean, look at what has happened in the time that he's been out. Shogun has come back. Deodato Machida has been freaking punished for DHEA. DC's been dominant. Anthony Johnson came and went. Gustafson has kind of waned. Teixeira's kind of waned. I mean, there's nobody there. There's no one in that light heavyweight division that could have challenged.
His talks were going to heavyweight.
And he may have, and I think he would have dominated that division too.
He would not have dominated that division.
It's he would have.
He would have been like Alistair. He would have got his wins, but he's not going to be dominant like he would at light heavyweight, in my opinion.
I think he could have been two weight champion at 205 and 225.
I think he could have been a two weight champion. I don't think he would dominate. He would get a quick road to the title. I think he could win that title from just about anybody, but I don't think he would necessarily dominate. He would definitely lose.
Eventually. I don't know. If it were me, 4 years of domination and whatever.
Think of how well he would match up with Stipe with some muscle on him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Very well.
Mm-hmm.
I think Stipe is a stronger striker and a stronger boxer, but I think Jones is a better striker all around.
Oh, okay. You meant stronger, not like his striking game is stronger. He's legitimately stronger. That's my exact assessment. Yeah. I think John is definitely a better striker.
Yeah.
Way better at eye poking.
and oblique kicks.
But, I don't think he would have retired. I mean, it depends on how far you want to go. Like, at some point, you got to have perspective on history. How long do you want your records to last? He won it at 24, which hardly anybody can do these days.
But imagine fighting and winning until you're 28 and just being done.
Or imagine going undefeated for...
Like Mayweather?
Mm-hmm.
Where he's like 40 fights in, 42 fights in and undefeated.
49.
Is it 49 now? Mm-hmm.
He's going for 50.
Yeah, but and Mayweather doesn't fight, though. That's the thing.
So? He's damn near a billionaire.
Yeah. He'll make more money than I will ever see in my lifetime.
And he's illiterate. All that reading you've done does you nothing.
That's true. That's true. My college education is worth nothing.
John has college education, so he's got that on point, I guess. But I'm talking
Mayweather.
No, but I mean, like, at that point, why not? Like, you're setting up a legacy. Like, if you really think that you're the greatest of all time, you're making a good case right now, but, I mean, people are going to start going for that, and eventually somebody's going to beat it. It just depends how long. How long do you want to be an Ali where you transcend the sport? If he doesn't, fine. Yeah. But, I mean, he very easily could be. And, but we'll never know.
We'll never know. You got anything else to say?
I like you a lot.
We're about
I want
time.
You to have fun with at Cuba. I want at you to go Cuba. I want you to say
fun at Cuba, like I'm tweeting at them.
Yes. Hey, at Cuba, just thought I'd come say hey. Yeah. I'll see you in a week.
I'd see you in a week.
Will you go say hi to Yoel?
Take good care of me. Y nuevo.
Will you go see him?
That's exciting, man. He's gonna fight Bisping. He's gonna beat Bisping.
Will you go say hey to him?
I would love to. Maybe I'll tweet him. I don't think he can come back and forth whenever he wants. Travel bans and all, you know.
Will you have him sign a postcard gay Jesus for me?
Oh, yes. I love how that still runs around on Reddit, too.
I will never let it die. It's maybe one of my favorite memes from MMA.
Maybe I'll
tweet at him.
Maybe I'll be like, oye.
Ya bien, ya vengo.
Yoel. Ya voy a ir a Cuba para ir antes, pues.
You're enunciating way too much.
Yeah, yeah.
Que
bola hacer, pues, gobernar.
¿Qué dicen los cubanos cuando vayan a la peluquería? Córtame pelo, chico.
Córtame pelo, chico. And with that,
we say nos vemos.
We say nos vemos. We will see you next week. Make sure to subscribe, follow on Twitter, all that good stuff. One Speed MMA. Love you guys lots.
Bye.
Bye.